Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
The fragile state of the world financial system has been laid bare, almost overnight it seems. Companies that dominated the financial landscape have disappeared or been crippled. Credit has dried up, and stock markets have gyrated wildly, mostly downward. At least one whole country, Iceland, is suddenly at the verge of bankruptcy. Peak oil and the following decline in world oil production can bring about sudden changes as well. How much can the rapidity of the financial meltdown tell us about what to expect from peak oil? For one thing, when a crucial part of the world changes, things can fall apart very quickly. The ever-multiplying world supply of money created in the last 8 years or so has largely been built on one thing: rising U.S. home prices. A financial system was constructed around issuing ever more risky mortgages and selling the mortgages to other institutions. As long as home prices kept rising, more and more above historical trends, the system seemed to work. When the real estate market soured and the bubble started deflating, things fell apart. Throughout the financial system, people discovered that financial instruments previously thought to have real value were actually loaded with loans that have little or no chance of being repaid. And nobody knew how widespread the problem was. One key assumption changed, and the whole financial house of cards started collapsing. Of course, it's unreasonable to believe that home prices will forever inflate at higher than historical rates. It's also unreasonable to believe that extraction of a finite natural resource, oil, will continue to increase forever. Yet industrial society has been designed around the assumption that that's exactly what will happen. Like the financial system, the petroleum industry is what Yale sociologist Charles Perrow might call an accident waiting to happen. In his book Normal Accidents, Perrow points out that accidents are to be expected when systems are designed in two ways. One, they are so complex that not even their designers understand them. And two, they are so tightly coupled that failures in one area cascade through other parts of the system too rapidly for humans to comprehend them and respond. Perrow says that nuclear power plants, petrochemical plants, and aircraft are examples of systems set up to have what he's termed these normal accidents. As we've seen, the financial system is also too complex for any one person to understand, and it's so tightly coupled that failures in a few key players rapidly threaten to bring down the whole system. The globalized petroleum industry is also too complex for any one person to understand. The U.S., for example, imports oil and other petroleum products from around the world, but it also exports some petroleum products. And what's happening on any given day, no one really knows. With oil companies unable to increase oil supply, the systems are stretched thin, and any disruption can rapidly lead to problems like the weeks of gasoline shortages the Southeast has experienced following Hurricane Ike. Disruptions can trigger further disruptions as well. The Discovery Channel documentary We Were Warned described a fictional but plausible scenario in which a Category 5 hurricane takes out nearly all of the U.S. Gulf of Mexico oil production and refining capacity. Al-Qaeda then realizes that world oil supplies are stretched so tight that it's an optimal time to maximize the effect of a new terrorist crime. They hijack a plane and crash it into the Saudi processing facility at Abqaiq. They also attack two Saudi oil ports, taking 8% of world oil off the market in a few hours. The point is not whether such a scenario might happen as described. The point is that, as oil becomes more scarce relative to demand, it increases the potential benefits for actors who wish to create chaos to advance their cause. In real life, Russia responded to attacks on their peacekeepers by Georgian troops by invading Georgia and taking up positions along a strategic million-barrel-per-day oil pipeline from the Caspian Sea to the Black Sea. And local groups in Nigeria have increasingly kidnapped oil company personnel and sabotaged oil facilities in the Delta. The world is tightly interconnected, and, like the global financial system has proved to be, it's based on assumptions that cannot hold, like oil production will continue to grow. The way to prevent the sort of collapse we've seen in financial systems is to reduce the complexity of the systems and decouple them. In energy, that means using less energy, using it more effectively, using more locally renewable resources of energy, and introducing more redundancy into our energy strategies. It's an approach that puts resilience ahead of short-term economic gains for long-term economic benefit. I'm Carl Ettinger, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.